The College of Idaho in Caldwell was recently included in the edition of Colleges of Distinction, a national guide for colleges recognized for their excellence in undergraduate-focused higher ed. The school is growing and continues to add accolades almost weekly. Earlier this year, the school was looking for a new president. Two candidates rose to the top of the list, former president of Title I Corporation, Doug Brigham, and this former CEO of Treasure Valley YMCA, Jim Everett. The pair reframed their individual candidacies into a co-presidential team, and the school's search committee was intrigued. So intrigued, they signed them both up as co-presidents. Doug Brigham and Jim Everett join me now in the studio to talk about this unique arrangement. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks,
Thank
Tom.
You.
So, Jim, what is it like to be a co-president? How does that even work?
We're loving it. I give Doug the credit for having the idea, and we're about 3 months into the job. I'll tell you, we're more excited about the model than we were when we started. You know, we split the salary. We're both working full time. We can give you all sorts of examples of how that's working. I don't know. I can speak for myself. I don't know how I do it by myself. We're getting a lot of ground covered with two of us.
And Doug, how did you enter this partnership then?
Well, I've known Jim for close to 30 years now, and seen him work around the community in the Treasure Valley. And Jim's had a long tie to the college. He was on the Board of Trustees. I was on the Board of Trustees at different times. And I've just had nothing but the utmost respect for Jim. And as I got to thinking about what the college needed and what skill set I might bring to the college, I really started to think more and more about Jim. And he's so well known, tremendous fundraiser, but a better person and a better leader. And thinking about the ability to have teamwork and work collaboratively with someone, I mean, that's what our students are about. That's how we educate them. Why wouldn't that model work at the presidency level?
Right. Education, the Socratic method, collaboration, certainly a part of the classroom. Let's talk about logistics. Are you able to cover more ground? I heard that at one point one of you can be at a poetry reading. This happened at one side of campus and the other at a taping on the panel of the future of media.
Exactly. You're so right, Tom. It's great to be able to do that. We do some things together, but most of the time we're called in different directions. So last week's a great example. I was in New York and Washington, D.C., meeting donors and alumni, and it was fabulous. I met a young lady who's just finishing her residency at Georgetown Medical School on her way to Johns Hopkins. I'm here meeting these people, hearing their stories, and I could tell you stories all day about how well our students do out in the real world. Doug's back on campus having all sorts of important meetings. In the old days, one of us would have to make a choice which one. And he had some important things to cover back on campus. So we're finding lots of occasions where that's the way it works.
Well, and I just add to that, we start every day together. Some days that might be 5 minutes. Some day that might be 2 hours. It just depends on the topics and our availability. But what a way to start a day to, collaboratively again talk about what's going on. And every time I have an idea, Jim, takes that idea and it makes it even better. And so we're able to do those things collaboratively. But last week was a great example. I'm able to be in Caldwell talking to students who are visiting campus, doing all those kinds of things that in the old model, we would have never been able to touch both of those areas.
So that's the silver lining for this management model. But what about the big decisions? Do you take a vote? What happens when one says yes and one says no? How are you going to break this tie, if there is one?
That was the most commonly asked question in the interview process. And we told them if that becomes a problem, we'll take it to the Board of Trustees. And that may be an indication that this model isn't working so far. And I think if you think about it, Tom, in any workplace, if you've got a shared vision, if you're there for the right reasons, decisions at our level really aren't that difficult. We want decisions to be able to be made at every level of the organization. And I think both of us have worked in large organizations. And what I took great pride in my former life was seeing some 18-year-old kid make a decision that they didn't have to run up the flagpole to the president level. If you really know what you're there for, and what I love, I mean, there's so many things I love about working with Doug, but Doug's younger than I am. He's very marketable. He's doing this for the right reasons. He loves the college. He wants more students to have the opportunity, wants to get the message out about what an outstanding education they can get at an affordable price. People have no idea of that piece of it. And so He's there for the right reasons. We haven't, honestly, have not had an issue. Now we're 3 months in. There'll be some things, but I don't think it's going to be an intractable issue. So that, if 3 months is the indicator, that's not going to be an issue. There's not been any bureaucracy either. We've been able to make some decisions quickly. Hired a basketball coach in a day. We did that by empowering the person that was responsible for it. We didn't get in her way. She made the decision, and we endorsed it. So I think that, you know, it's a concern that people have, but has not evidenced itself.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Jim Everett and Doug Brigham, co-presidents of the College of Idaho, the liberal arts institution in Caldwell. We'd like to hear from you. Are you an alum? What would you think of having two bosses? You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So I imagine this is unique as you make your way through conferences across the country. Is it?
As far as we know, we are the only co-president model in higher education. We've certainly garnered a little bit of interest and in intrigue because of that. But it's, at this point, I think we're the only one.
And might I add, among the longest serving presidents in Idaho with all of the changes in higher ed in this state, 3 months on the job. So faculty and students have two presidents. Let's talk about the College of Idaho itself. You have a beautiful new library. You've made some of those lists in Forbes, USA Today. What's new on campus that you'd like to share with us?
You know, one thing I would add, and it dovetails off of your interview with Moses and Kara just before us, and that is about 10% of our population of student body is international students. So we have 47 different countries represented on campus right now, and that's when you think about Idaho, that kind of element is wonderful in terms of the diversity and the ideas that they bring to a discussion. It's a tremendous asset that we have. About 30% of our student body identifies as non-white. We're big fans of what we would call radical inclusion and making the circle bigger. And that those are all just elements of that that we both were aware of coming in from the community, but I don't think that's a message that we've gotten out into the community, certainly not into the Treasure Valley as well as we could have.
Can you expand on that radical inclusion? What's that?
Sure.
So it's a philosophy that there's no asterisks. Everybody's welcome. No matter where you come from, what your beliefs are, we're gonna welcome you, and we're gonna celebrate that diversity. At the end of the day, we share so much in common, and if you understand that, then it's fun to meet people that are come from a different background, having the international students. 30% of our students are first generation. That's incredible too to have that at a school. A lot of people have a feeling that because it's a small private liberal arts college, it's inaccessible. It's very affordable.
Let's talk about that. That is one of those millstones around students' necks as they go into the workforce, student loan. You made it on one of those America's Best Value Colleges list. How does a small private school do that?
We have a lot of, we give a lot of aid away. We attract a student that garner some of that award. We've got a student this year coming we're really proud of who is coming here instead of Dartmouth and got into both places. We're way more affordable. I mean, it's prestigious to go to Dartmouth. He's going to get a world-class education at College of Idaho for nowhere near the price there. So we're finding students that find that out. If they'll come over and take a look at us, they're going to find out that the aid packages make us very competitive in Idaho and unbelievably competitive when you look at outside of Idaho. So,
Jim Everett and Doug Brigham with us, co-presidents of the College of Idaho. I recently visited a friend in Caldwell. He took me out to dinner. Where did he take me? To the cafeteria at the College of Idaho. Apparently it has some local reputation.
It does. It's a wonderful place. Bon Appetit is our supplier over there, and they do a wonderful job, and they recognize the diversity on campus. So there's always an international dish every meal that's an option, again, to accommodate our student body and the needs. And as students get to know that and get comfortable with that, you'll find more and more even trying the international dishes just because they like to explore and are curious about it.
Now, one problem is Doug and I have explored too many dishes over there. We've eaten over there a lot. That was part of our method to go sit down with students and hear their stories. And I think we've put on about 5 pounds since we started at the cafeteria. It's great food.
So 3 months in, I imagine you've had those meetings with students and with faculty, and you understand what the challenges are ahead. What's part of that big vision for College of Idaho?
Well, Doug hit on part of it, but I think it's that concept of making the circle bigger, radical inclusion. We think we already are, but we got to get the word out in terms of being recognized as the most welcoming, diverse campus in Idaho. We are that, but people don't know that. We think it's around the intimacy that we have. I heard this on this visit I took back to D.C. and New York, the relationship. There's a philosophy, not a philosophy, there's a lot of study that's been done about what makes a college student successful. It's a mentor and two good friends. You almost would have to try really hard not to get a mentor and two good friends because of classrooms. Right now, there's
classroom sizes.
Classroom sizes and research opportunities. We've got students on campus right now that are doing basically one-on-one research projects with world-class faculty. So you get that. And we think we're also, because of our liberal arts and our peak curriculum, we're able to help people find a calling, not just a job. You know, parents want their kids to find a job, but it's got to be more than that, and we believe that the exposure we provide in this breadth of different topics and exposure that allows people to find that calling that both Doug and I have been fortunate to find in our lives. We want more young people to have.
Doug, any final thoughts?
Well, it's a wonderful campus, and you look at our student body, we have the highest pre-med acceptance rate, so our science programs are wonderful, and we just encourage people, come visit. It's a wonderful place.
We've been speaking with Doug Brigham and Jim Everett, co-presidents of the College of Idaho.